The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live and you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus says, "Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me." Whoever has my commandments and observes them. Because of the great heresy of Protestantism, most Catholics in modern times have become universalists. They believe that everyone is going to heaven no matter what, except maybe Hitler and people they don't like, or people that usually disagree with them in politics. But think of it. The words of Christ himself prove that contention wrong. "He who has my commandments and observes them is one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father." You know what the very definition of hell is? Living in the absence of God's love. For God is everywhere, in the sense that hell does not exist if God does not permit it. The fires of hell are powered by the love of Christ. And those who reject Christ are so profound in their rejection of Christ, who is God, that the love of God is painful. So in that respect, then, God still loves the souls in hell, but they experience that love in fire because they've rejected it. And in divine justice, it is indeed a place of punishment. For God is God. And to reject God is to make yourself God. Therefore, you are exactly like the fallen angels, rebellious, revolting with regards to the authority and the reality of who God is. And since we know that Christ spoke more of hell than any other figure in sacred scripture, and Christ came to save us, what did he come to save us if liberal Catholics and half-hearted Catholics and Protestants are correct? What did Christ come to save us from if there is no hell? If there is no possibility of hell, why did Christ warn against it so often? If there is no possibility of hell, why did Christ die on the cross? If there is no possibility of hell, then why do we celebrate the Holy Sacrifice, which is the representation of the one true sacrifice of Christ on the cross? We live in the age of wimpy Christianity, and therefore the reality of hell is considered something that people just don't like. They shake their heads. "We don't need to hear that. We don't want that." Well, of course not. This great spiritual master said, "Only souls that are on their way to hell deny the existence of hell." Why? Because they have to. Because they know they're heading that direction. They've rejected God. They've rejected the Christ and his commandments by virtue of living in disobedience and sin, and worst of all, because they presume on his mercy by believing that he is constrained to the reality of human love. And remember, human love, by definition of the world, is a very needful thing. We need to be loved. We need to feel good about ourselves, and therefore love becomes an enslaving principle, when love in all reality is freeing and liberating. One chooses to love instead of being trapped in it. But most people want to believe that God is just like us, and therefore God, who is love, cannot send a soul to hell because he's love. Imagine the pride and arrogance of suggesting that, which is in and of itself a ticket to hell by its very nature. We cannot define God. We cannot contain God. We cannot, in the face of his immensity and his powerful goodness, which is beyond our comprehension, he is all good, all truth, all beauty. We go against our very nature when we do that. But again, if you don't know God, then you invent your own. And you begin to love the thing that you invented on your own, which is manifesting your own limited knowledge of God himself. God is a God of justice as well as mercy. And everyone wants to believe that everyone's going to heaven. Well, what about the people who have done great harm to others without repenting of it? What about the people who have murdered without repenting of it? What about people who have sought to destroy others and destroy everything around them and not repented of it? Why would they deserve heaven? But you see, a liberal Catholic, a lukewarm Catholic, a stupid Catholic has to say that because they're trying to excuse themselves from the possibility of hell. Their conviction is they don't want to live by what the church teaches. So their conviction is there is no hell, there's no possibility of me going to hell. Again, it's only the people I don't like and maybe Hitler, and again, usually people that disagree with me. It's funny how sodomists who commit the very sin that cries out to heaven for vengeance are the first to say homophobes are going to hell. Supremely ironic. But that's what happens when you get stuck in sin. Your intellect gets darkened and your pride begins to take over. What's the point here? The point is that our Lord establishes the only way to heaven because as he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And therefore, his way is the way. Everything he says is the truth, and everything he gives us is about eternal life. So therefore, he is the gate. No one comes to the Father except through me, he says. Peter reiterates, there's no name by which anyone can be saved except the holy name of Jesus. And therefore, one must do as Jesus says. And Jesus, who knows us better than ourselves, not simply because he is God, our very designer, by which everything was created by the Father, but he is one of us by virtue of his true humanity. He knows what it is to be human. And therefore, you cannot say that he is calling us to a standard that is implausible. And you cannot say that he didn't really mean that because we're weak and imperfect. That's precisely what the serpent said to Eve. God really didn't mean that you would die if you ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. In fact, if you eat of that forbidden fruit, you'll be like God. Is that not the path that your average, lukewarm Catholic, liberal Catholic, stupid Catholic takes? That they're actually saying, we will choose what is right and wrong? We will choose good and evil. We will tell God what he is going to do for us. We'll tell God who goes to heaven. We'll tell God who goes to hell, which again is going to be Hitler and a few other people I disagree with. But otherwise, hell's empty. Imagine the audacity. How many of you who live in the sacrament of holy matrimony would enjoy your spouse constantly telling you how you're supposed to be you? How many husbands enjoy when their wives tell them, this is how you're supposed to be a man? How many wives like it when the husband says, this is how you're supposed to be a woman? Typically they don't, and typically that's not a sign of authentic love. When one member of the sacrament of holy matrimony is trying to control and dominate the other, you can know for certain they do not love you. They want you to be something that you are not. They want to control you. And that's what they do with God. Scripture tells us that God will not be mocked. And indeed, his justice is forever. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. How many of you who are in the sacrament of holy matrimony, when you first met the one that you were called to be married to, did not want to know everything about that person? How many of you sought to find more about your spouse before you married them? Wanted to know their interests, wanted to know what they liked, wanted to know what they did? Because obviously everything they said and they did, you were genuinely interested in, because you, in your will, began to love them. And yet, how many Catholics could not recite for me the Ten Commandments? How many Catholics could not recite for me the Beatitudes? How many Catholics could not recite for me the five precepts of the Church? These are Christ's commandments made manifest by his Church. And our Lord guaranteed to the apostles that everything the Church teaches, when she has taught it at all times, at all places, in every situation, in other words, her longstanding tradition, it is guaranteed by the Holy Spirit to be true, because God cannot deceive nor be deceived. And therefore, to know Christ is to know his commandments. How many can even quote the Christ from the Gospels who reveals himself in that divine revelation, besides the one that most run to? Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Judge not, lest he be judged. How many know that Jesus also said, judge justly? Judge justly. How many also know Jesus said that a tree is known by its fruit? A good tree produces good fruit. A wicked tree produces wicked fruit. And you will know the tree by its fruit. And yet people run around talking about their neighbor who was killed in a drug deal like he was a saint. He was a good man. Yeah, he sold drugs that got people addicted and killed people in crime, but he was a good man. Oh, Mr. So-and-so, he beats his wife, but he's a good man. How often we've decided that we are God, which is tantamount to pride. And what is pride by the Church's definition? Self-love. The greatest flaw we all must defeat is pride, self-love. God gave it to us in an ordered sense so that we'd preserve that which he gave us, life, and then seek what is best for others by seeking what is best for ourselves, the beatific vision, heaven. But because of the fall and passions being out of control and our intellect being darkened by sin, we just want to love ourselves, just give ourselves a big old hug, and then formulate the Church around that big self-hug. And that means making the Church accept my sinfulness, making the Church accept my weakness, making Jesus accept me the way I am, telling Jesus, if you love me, Jesus, you will keep my commandments. That says you will not send anyone to hell unless it's Hitler and people I disagree with. Which means that you will follow what I say is true. You will accept homosexuality. You will accept divorce. You will accept contraception. You will accept all those things you have told me are a grave sin. But if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And these people actually believe that they're going to heaven with such a prideful rejection of the truth. Hell, by definition, is living in the absence of the goodness of God. What does Jesus say? He says that those who have his commandments, which means know them and keep them, because if we love him, we want to know everything he taught, we want to know every word he spoke, and then we keep it in practice. That's when our Lord says, when you possess the commandments, that means when you know them and you keep them, that means you live by them, then the Father will love you. The way to heaven is keeping the commandments, not simply saying, I love you, Jesus, and then going and living your own life any way you want. That's not the way it works, contrary to popular myth, which is a prideful myth based on self-love and self-obsession. So let us be mindful of ourselves and mindful of the words of Christ. If you don't know the things I said earlier, then learn them. If you've never sat down and read the Holy Gospels, do it. Start with the Gospel of Mark, the shortest one. You'll be surprised at what Jesus actually says. Yes, you hear the Gospels through the cycle of the church, but not really reading it yourself. You'll be surprised at how many things our Lord said that applies to every situation in life. You'll be surprised how Christ will speak to you by reading Revelation, the divine revelation of Scripture, because you'll know Christ. You won't have this mythical Christ who is the pot-smoking hippie that is desperately needy. You will see the King of the universe who is opposed to Satan and is telling you you're either in his kingdom or Satan's, and it's time for you to choose. There is no neutral ground. And if you don't know Christ, you won't love Christ. And if you don't love Christ, you will not keep his commandments. And then you'll expect him to keep yours. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.